As Doug announced a few moments ago, next Sunday, Lord willing, will be the start of our scheduled gospel meeting with James Hahn doing the preaching. And with our upcoming gospel meeting quickly approaching, I thought it would be appropriate to take just a few moments this morning to propose a question. And that question I want to propose to us this morning is, are you ready for our gospel meeting? You see, some people think that gospel meetings are insignificant, that they're not important. However, gospel meetings are important. They're important not only for those of us who are already Christians, but also important in spreading the message to the lost. It's beneficial to the saved and to the lost. And because gospel meetings are often thought of something of being insignificant, something that is not really that important, I think it's important that we understand that gospel meetings are important and that there are many benefits that can be gained by having gospel meetings. So with the question, are you ready for our gospel meeting in mind? Let's consider five other questions this morning to help us answer our proposed question of are you ready for our gospel meeting? And the first question I ask is, are you making preparations to attend every service of our gospel meeting so that you can feed upon the Word of God and so that you can be encouraged and be encouraged an encouragement to others? Again, as we mentioned, there are a lot of benefits that can be gained by attending a gospel meeting. I encourage each and every one, if you haven't already got a bulletin article, to take a bulletin article and to take some time to read that article. Because in that article this week, we talk about some great opportunities that are presented by a gospel meeting. And we're not going to talk about all those opportunities that are presented by a gospel meeting this morning. We're just going to ask some questions to answer the question of if you are ready for our gospel meeting. And that first question is, are you making preparations to attend every service of our gospel meeting? I know some of you are. I know some of you are looking forward to our upcoming gospel meeting. I know that some of you are already making preparations to be here every night during our gospel meeting. I'll give you an example of that. We've got a brother in the audience this morning who called me twice last week to confirm the dates of our gospel meeting while he was talking with his boss to make sure that he would be free on the evening to be here. That's encouraging. That's encouraging, brethren, when we have members who are rearranging their schedule so that they can be here. And that should be the attitude of each and every one of us. We all should be desiring to be here every night of our gospel meeting and be willing to make some sacrifices in order to do that. When I thought about that and I thought about that brother and what he was telling me, I couldn't help but to think about the words of Jesus found there in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6. Remember there, Jesus gave the Beatitudes. Remember what Jesus said there in Matthew 5, 6? He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Brethren, we all, as God's people, ought to be a people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We all ought to be a people who, as Peter said there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, who desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? So that we may grow thereby. I'm thankful for brothers like our brother who is willing to make sacrifices, who is willing to make adjustments to his schedule so that he can be here. And may we all strive to be like that. May we all strive to be people who are willing to go that extra mile, who are willing to make adjustments to our schedules, who are willing to prepare and make the proper preparations to attend not only every service of our normal scheduled assemblies, but also gospel meetings like we're getting ready to have. And brethren, not only is the benefit going to be given in that you're going to be able to feed upon the Word of God, but also the benefit is going to be given in that you are going to be able to be edified and that you're going to encourage others by your presence. To emphasize that, I take us there to Hebrews chapter 10. Follow me, if you will, there to Hebrews chapter 10. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning here in verse number 24, I want us to notice this instruction of the Hebrews writer. He says, "And let us consider one another." Why? Now pay attention. "In order to stir up love and good works." He goes on to say in verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." Verse 24 and 25 go closely together. It's important to understand that if we are going to fulfill the instruction that is given there in verse number 24, we're going to have to also fulfill the instruction given in verse number 25. Notice the instruction given. We are to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. But he goes on to say, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some." Brethren, the only way that the instruction of verse 24 can be fulfilled is simply by assembling together. That's the only way it can be fulfilled. That instruction is not going to be fulfilled if we choose to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And here's the thing, we're going to have the opportunity to assemble together every night next week. Every night next week. Now, how many of you are making the proper preparations to be here every night next week to assemble together? How many of you? You see, because on the flip side of that coin, knowing that we're going to be here to assemble together every night next week, if you willingly forsake that assembly, guess what? You're failing to do what we have been instructed to do in regard to coming together in order to stir up love and good works. I want you to think about something when you think about your presence. It's an encouragement when you're here. When each and every member is here, present, what an encouragement that is. But on the flip side of that coin, your absence is a discouragement. It's discouraging when you're not here. And I have to tell you, brother, it was disappointing, the turnout of our members attending our meeting, our last gospel meeting. It was very disappointing. It was very disappointing in the fact that we had many members who chose not to attend and support that meeting throughout the week. Let's not make this meeting that way. Let's make sure that we are making the proper preparation to have every member at every service. Knowing that you're needed. Your presence is needed. You're needed to be here to provide an encouragement to the others that are going to be here. Because I know, looking out here, that many of you are going to be here every night of that service, of that gospel meeting. But wouldn't it be great if we all were here every night? It would, wouldn't it? What an encouragement that would be. And may we be mindful of the benefits that's going to come by making preparations to attend every service of our gospel meeting. Not only so that we can feed upon the Word of God and grow thereby, but also so that you can be edified and so that you can be an encouragement to others. But here is another question in regard to the proposed question, are you ready for our gospel meeting? And that is, are you inviting others to attend our gospel meeting and making preparations to bring them to our meeting so that they too can hear the powerful Word of God proclaimed? How you doing with that, brother? How many invites have you extended for our upcoming gospel meeting? You see, we cannot overemphasize enough the importance of inviting the lost to come and to hear the gospel proclaimed. Can't overemphasize that enough. There's power in a simple invitation. Did you know that? A simple invitation has the power to change someone's life forever. And I've heard many times of people who have been invited to come to a church service or to a gospel meeting who never heard the gospel before. And after they heard the gospel, their hearts were pricked and they obeyed the gospel. And it all came about from a simple invitation. Again, how many of you are diligently inviting others to come to our meeting? We all know friends, family, neighbors, co-workers who are lost, who are in need of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know many. You know many. And just think of how we can be a benefit to them by inviting them to come and hear the powerful gospel proclaimed. For as Alvin read to us in our hearing a few moments ago there in Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. Remember those words of Paul that Alvin read for us? What did Paul say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And he goes on to tell us why. When he says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. You see that? Paul made it very clear that he wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ because he knew that the gospel of Christ was God's power unto salvation. Remember that. Think about all those you know that are lost, that are in need of hearing the gospel of Christ, and invite them to come and hear the powerful word of God proclaimed. Because you want to know something, brethren? The word of God is just as living and powerful today as it was when the Hebrews writer penned the words there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12, which read, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Still this very day, the word of God is living and powerful. And it has the power to change lives. It has the power. As we read there in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. To pierce to the division of soul and spirit. And of joints and marrow. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's powerful, brethren. And as James said there in James chapter 1 and verse number 21. The implanted word of God is able to do what? Save souls. Remember that. And never forget the potential impact that one invite may have on someone. But I also asked the question this morning. Are you ready to show hospitality and to give a warm welcome to all those who attend our gospel meeting? Are you? You see, did you know that God desires His people to be a hospitable people? Did you know that? You see, God desires His people to be a hospitable people. And there in Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 13, in the context there of Romans chapter 12, Paul is writing to Christians, reminding them of how to behave like a Christian. And one of those things that Paul instructs them there in Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 13 is to do what? be given to hospitality. You see, we need to be mindful of the fact that we're going to have visitors throughout our week of our gospel meeting. And we need to be reminded of the need to be given to hospitality when we have visitors. You see, the more people who greet and welcome visitors, guess what? The more welcome and appreciated that the visitors are going to feel. And brethren, we need to be doing our part in being given to hospitality. We all, as members here at Belleville, need to be doing our part in giving a warm welcome to all those who visit with us. Most of you do a great job of that. Some of you do an outstanding job of it. But we all need to be doing it. And we need to be reminded of what Peter said there in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 9. And there he says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Remember that. Don't be hospitable just because you feel like you have to do it. But be hospitable because you're sincere about it. Because you mean it. Because you are happy that those who are visiting with us are here. Let them know that. Show that to them. And remember, visitors may well determine whether or not they will return or not based upon how they are received. Think about that. Did you know that? I heard it said that when people are visiting other congregations, they determine within the first 10 minutes whether or not they're going to return again. I've heard that said. And I have to confess, I've said it myself. I've been to congregations before and visited, and guess what? Not one person come up to welcome me, to greet me, introduce themselves to me. I sat there, and I felt like a fish out of water. And I even made the comment to Holly, we won't come back here. It's sad, but it's true. I venture to say some of you have probably experienced that too, haven't you? And you want to know something, brethren? It should never be in where the people of God meet. When people come in to visit and to gather where the people of God are gathered, there should always be hospitality. There should be a warm welcome given to them. They should feel welcome, and they should feel appreciated for their presence. And let us here at Belleville make sure that we're all doing our part in being given to hospitality. So I ask, in preparation to our upcoming gospel meeting, are you ready to be given to hospitality? But I also ask, in regard to our proposed question this morning, are you ready for our gospel meeting? That is, are you praying fervently for the efforts of our gospel meeting to be of much benefit? You see, brethren, as we have mentioned time and time again, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. And we need to be mindful of the power that is in prayer. And we need to be mindful of the fact that prayer is something that we all can be engaged in. That's something we all can do. We all can be engaged in going to our Father in prayer. And we need to be each and every day. We need to pray without ceasing, as we learn there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse number 17. But in regard to our question, are you ready for our gospel meeting? I specifically ask, are you praying for the efforts of this upcoming gospel meeting. Are you? If not, why not? Because we need to be praying for the efforts of this upcoming gospel meeting. We need to be like Paul, as we learned there in Romans chapter 10 and in verse 1. And remember what Paul said there, that his desire and heart's desire and prayer was for Israel? Remember what he said? That they may be what? Saved. As we mentioned earlier, we know many who are lost, who are in need of hearing the gospel, who are in need of obeying the gospel. And not only should we be inviting those who are lost to hear the gospel, but we also need to be praying that they may be saved. We need to be praying for them. We need to be praying that their heart will be pricked and that they will be receptive and that they will obey the gospel so that they may be saved. Not only do we need to be praying for the lost, but we also need to be praying for the preacher. We need to be praying for James. We need to be praying for James to have safe travels. We need to be praying for James to have good health throughout the week. And we need to be praying that James will boldly proclaim the gospel to us. When I think about that, I'm mindful of Paul's request there in Ephesians chapter 6. Go with me, if you will, for a moment there to Ephesians chapter 6. And as good Bible students, you're familiar with the context here in Ephesians 6. You're familiar with Paul talking to Christians and instructing them to put on the whole armor of God. But I want us to notice verse 18 and notice with me here verses 18 and 19 in the request of Paul here. And notice what Paul says. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now watch verse 19. Paul says, and for me. Why, Paul? He says, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Remember that. Be praying for James in our upcoming gospel meeting. Be praying that he will boldly open his mouth and proclaim the gospel truths to us. And also be mindful of the need to be praying for open doors. As we have announced, there have been a lot of invitations go out, inviting others to come to our gospel meeting. We have sent 3,000 mailing flyers out to mailboxes in Clayton, Belleville, Hazelwood, northern part of Monrovia. We've put an ad that's going to come out in the Republican, the Hendricks County paper, on Thursday. We've sent flyers to many other local congregations, inviting them. And many of you have already made personal invites. Many of you have been extending those invitations. And not only should we be extending the invitation, but we need to be praying for open doors to come through those invitations. To be able to continue to study and teach the Word of God. And when I think about that, I'm mindful again of Paul's request. Not only his instruction, but his request there in Colossians chapter 4. Notice this with me. Here in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 beginning, Paul says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. But he didn't stop there. He goes on to say in verse 3, meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. You see that? Paul asked them to pray for them that an open door may be granted to them so that they may preach the Word of God. Let us be mindful of that, brethren. Let us be mindful of the need to be praying for doors to open. And don't only just pray for doors to open, but also pray for hearts to be opened so that they'll be receptive to the Word of God. And never forget, as we've mentioned time and time again, the power that is in prayer. Remembering, as James said there in James chapter 5 and verse number 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? Availeth much. Yes, sir. Availeth much. Remember that. Never forget that. And let us be praying fervently for the efforts of our gospel meeting to be of much benefit. But one more thing I ask in regard to our proposed question, are you ready for our gospel meeting? And that is, are you ready to give God all the glory through the efforts of our gospel meeting? You see, brethren, the efforts put forth from our gospel meeting, they're done all to the glory of God. They're not done to give glory to our visiting preacher. They're not done to give glory to the church here at Belleville. But the efforts that are put forth and that are going to be put forth for our gospel meeting are all done to the glory of God. And we need to be mindful of that, brethren. We need to be mindful of the fact that all glory belongs to God and only to God. We pray much good will come through the efforts of our gospel meeting. But whatever comes from our gospel meeting, all glory goes to God. All glory goes to God. And we need to be reminded of the fact that we need to do all that we do to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Never forgetting, as Paul said there in Philippians chapter 4 and in verse number 20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Brethren, if you answered yes to all the questions that we have examined this morning, then you are ready for our upcoming gospel meeting. However, if you answered no to any of the questions that we have examined here this morning, then you are not quite ready for our upcoming gospel meeting. But you are encouraged to get ready and to be one who seeks to diligently support the efforts of our upcoming gospel meeting. And let me tell you, you'll be glad you did. You'll be glad you did. We're about to sing an invitation song titled, Is Thy Heart Right with God? And maybe there's one among us this morning whose heart, as of right now, is not right with God. And if that be the case, we don't want you to wait for our gospel meeting to get your heart right with God. But rather, we encourage you to get your heart right with God this very hour. And if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ. You could be baptized into Jesus Christ this very hour. You can have your sins washed away. And you could be raised up out of that watery grave to walk in the newness of life. And you too can have your heart right with God. You too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we need to continue to keep on keeping on. Need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one among us this morning who's already submitted himself in obedience to the Lord and His will. But still, maybe your heart's not right with God. Maybe you strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness, get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. Once again, get your heart right with God while you have the opportunity to do so. And if there would be one here this morning who'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while we stand and sing the song that Max has selected.